It's often noted that human beings can survive weeks without food, days without water, and seconds without air. But we can't exist one moment without hope. We require hope to cope. Hope keeps your soul alive. And as a pastor who stood by the bedside of hundreds of people as they took their last breath, I've seen firsthand that hope is the last thing people let go. I'm Rick Warren, and this is Daily Hope.
Today, on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, When You Feel Like Giving Up.
What do I do when I feel like giving up? I need to do the 6 things that are covered in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's get right into it. The first thing I need to do is I need to remember that heaven is watching me. Remember that heaven is watching me. Now, this is the very first thing the writer of Hebrews tells us when he's trying to give us encouragement to not give up. Verse 1, first part. Therefore, in the light of all these people, Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David and all these great saints of history, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, do you realize that your life is being watched? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, but let me just say it this way. Your life has an audience. Nothing you do is private. Nothing you do is personal. Nothing you do is secret. Heaven is watching. Now, we all know God sees everything. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God, it doesn't miss a thing. Job 31:4, he sees everything I do and every step I take. God knows your ups, your downs. He saw you being formed in your mother's womb, saw you take your first breath. He saw you commit every sin, every good thing, all of the bad, every part of your life, he knows. He has every head on your hair numbered. He knows every thought you have. So nothing is hid from God. We know that. Other people may not know, but we know that God knows. But not only that, it says here, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith. Your life has an audience. Now that even is sobering. The fact, I don't know how this worked, but evidently other people in heaven are watching too. Does that make you happy? No. The fact that Moses could be watching how you're handling your problems, or Abraham could be watching how you handle your problems and going, you think that's tough? You think that's hard? Try leading people out of slavery. You think your problem's a big deal? You know, try going to a foreign country you've never been to and starting a new nation. The Bible says your life is being watched from heaven. So don't give up. These people up there are not criticizing you. They're cheering you on. Now, the second thing is I must eliminate what doesn't matter. If I want to make it to the end of the race, I've got to do a little decluttering. I've got to eliminate what doesn't matter in my life so I can move forward. I've got to simplify my life, not hang on to a bunch of stuff. You know, if you're a cruise liner out in the water, you can go a certain speed. If you add 100 lifeboats onto it and you're tugging it along, it's going to slow down. If you've got a battery and you plug one light bulb into it, the light bulb will go a long time. But if you plug 15, it drains it faster. If you plug 100 into it, it's going to drain it very quickly. As your pastor who loves you and cares for you, I'm concerned that you are maybe trying to do too much. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. And you can get so many irons in the fire, you put out the fire. And maybe what you need to do is a little spring cleaning spiritually and go, yeah, good thing, but I don't need to do that. Yeah, good thing, but I don't need to do that. Yeah, I just need to focus on the race because these things are slowing me down. You get too many things going on in your life, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to feel like giving up. Now, this is what the Bible says. Look at the second part of the verse. First, he says, since we're surrounded by a crowd of these witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. I want you to circle two words, weight and sin, because they're different, and these are the two things that slow you down in life. Weights slow you down, and sins slow you down. Now, what are these things? What are weights? A weight is not something that's wrong. It's not something bad. It's not something evil. It's just something good that slows you down. It's anything that's good that slows you down. It doesn't have to be bad. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be an activity. It could be a sport that you're spending too much time doing and it's slowing you down from where God wants you to go. You see, a lot of things in life are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. So you need to understand that selection is the name of the game. If you want your life to count, you're going to have to learn how to get control of your time. And that means focusing on the majors, not majoring on the minors. Have you learned that you have to say no to some good things in life? You don't just have to say no to bad things. You have to say no to a lot of good things in order to finish the race to do what God wants you to do. You can die doing too many good things. You can drown doing too many good things. Some good things need not to be done just because they're good. It's like money. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean I should buy it. No, there is the discipline of saying no. You have to learn the middle words of the alphabet, N-O. Write this down. To grow, I must say no. To grow, I must say no. So next time somebody asks you to do something good, you stop, you pray about it, and you say no. And you say, my pastor told me. Just blame me. Because if it's not part of the plan, you can be doing so many good things, they slow you down. These are called weights. You've got to declutter.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called When You Feel Like Giving Up from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now, if you start slowing down and you find yourself slowing down spiritually, slowing down physically, slowing down relationally, you find yourself getting discouraged and you think, I'm not going to make it to the finish line. You need to stop and do a frank evaluation. You know, I'm so proud of you. Those of you who joined into the Daniel plan in January, we started this plan, which is a 1-year plan to get in shape. We now have over 14,000 of you have gone online and registered in the Daniel plan. 14,000. Our church, since January, has lost over 200,000 pounds. That's pretty amazing, okay? Now think about that. That's over 1,000 pounds a day this church is losing, okay? And that's a good thing. But right now, some of you are getting into the summer and you're going, I'm not losing as fast as I thought I was going to. Or you're getting discouraged. Or you know, this happened to me. I dropped 35 pounds pretty quickly. And then it got into June and I got really tired this month. And all of a sudden I was just fatigued and I was tired. And I was trying to do too much. And I just got tired. And I didn't lose anything during the month of June. Now, what do I do? Just give up? Of course not. You reconsider, recollect, you lay aside whatever's holding you back. And so I just did a little spring cleaning, a little self-evaluation, and I looked and I realized that there were four things I needed to change. Number one, I wasn't drinking enough water. When I first started, I was drinking a lot of water. You can't lose weight if you don't drink enough water. Second thing was I wasn't getting enough sleep. It was a very busy month for me, and I was doing a lot of teaching and a lot of preparing of materials for our small groups that we're going to be doing during this series. And I was very busy, and I wasn't getting enough sleep. You don't get enough sleep, your body starts holding on to fat. And number three, I went to a doctor, got checked out, found out I had low thyroid. So they gave me thyroid medicine. And the fourth thing was I had stopped writing down the foods in the food journal. Well, you stop writing it down before it's a habit, guess what? You cheat. Yeah, well, I only had a few nuts. Did you count how many nuts you ate? Yeah. Well, you know, the 5 or 6 handfuls. So I made those changes. You know what insanity is? You know the definition of insanity. Continuing to do the same thing you've always done and expecting different results. That's insanity. So if you start to get discouraged, what do? You change what needs to be changed. It may be something simple. But let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, especially the sins. Now, sins certainly slow you down. If you're holding on to a grudge, you won't forgive that person, you're going to get discouraged. If you harbor anger in your heart, if you harbor guilt in your heart, and you have unconfessed sin in your heart, you're going to get discouraged. What is sin? Sin, you might write this down, is knowing what to do and not doing it. That's sin. Your conscience tells you sin. When you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that's sin. You say, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's in James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, 17 says this. It's up here on the screen. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Well, that's going to slow me down too. I've got to remember that heaven is watching. I'm surrounded by, my life is being watched by witnesses. And I've got to eliminate the things that hold me back. The third thing I've got to do, if I'm going to make it to the finish line, is run God's race for me, not other people's race for me. I've got to run God's race for me, not others' race. You know, God loves you and everybody else has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you don't have a plan, and you don't go with God's plan, then they're going to suggest their plan. Now, the Bible says, the third part of this verse, verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance. That's what we're talking about this weekend, how to endure. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Circle the phrase, that God has set. Notice, I'm not supposed to run the race that other people have set for me. I'm not to run the race that culture has set before me. I'm not to run the race that my parents have set before me. I'm not even to run the race that I set for myself, because it may be unrealistic. I'm to run the race that God has set before me. When God created you, He created you with a plan for your life. You can miss that plan. How? Real simple. Do your own plan. Or drift. And you'll miss God's plan. God has a race for your life. And God has a race for the person sitting next to you that's different than yours. And God has a race for the person sitting next to them that's different from either of you. Now, let me say this. If you try to run somebody else's race, my boyfriend wants me to do this. My parents wanted me to do this. My wife wants me to do that. My husband, my whatever, my best friend thinks I should do this. If I run a race that other people try to put on me, I'm going to lose. I'm going to fail, and I'm not going to finish the race, because God doesn't give you enough strength to finish somebody else's race. And God did not put you on earth to run somebody else's race. God put you on this earth to be you, not somebody else. And when you be you, that brings glory to God. And so you've got to stop living for the approval of other people. You see, you've got to run the race that God set for you. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I know what's God's race for my life? You look at your shape. Now, if you've forgotten what shape is, you need to go back and take class 301, in which we teach you how to discover your shape, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. What am I gifted to do? What do I love to do? What am I talented to do? What does my personality fit with? And what are my experiences, good and bad? Your shape determines the race you run. Rabbits aren't meant to fly, and eagles aren't meant to swim, and ducks aren't meant to run. Your shape determines what God wants you to do with your life. And when you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like somebody else? He's going to say, why weren't you more you? So I've got to run the race that God has for me, not others. Otherwise, I'm going to get discouraged and give up. Number four. The fourth thing is I must focus on Jesus, not my circumstances. When I'm going through a tough time, when I feel like throwing in the towel, when I'm at the end of the rope, when I feel like I can't hold on, I need to focus on Jesus, not my circumstance. Not the problems, but the Savior. Not the situation, but God. Now, in verse 2, it says this. How do we run with endurance? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, what tough time you're going through. And it may seem unendurable right now. And you go, I can't handle this. I just can't handle it. To endure the unendurable, I must keep my eyes on the invisible. I must keep my eyes on Jesus. If, as Corrie Ten Boom said, Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, were put in Auschwitz prison during World War II for hiding Jews. She wrote a book on it called The Hiding Place. And then they got caught, and though they were Christians, they were sent to the death camps along with the Jews they were hiding. Betsy died there. Corrie eventually got out. But she once said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It all depends on what you have your eyes on. If you've got your eyes on your problem, it's no wonder you're discouraged. It's no wonder you're unfocused. It's no wonder you feel like giving up today. But if you've got your eyes focused on God, on Jesus, He's the Savior. He's the solution to your situation. And He will help you out. So what do? You remember what God has done for you. You remember what God's goodness to you in the past, and you want to remember God's presence right now and today, and God's power for the future. So you get your mind off yourself and onto God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. That's the story. You know the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Iraq to preach, to Syria, to Nineveh. And he said, I'm not doing that. In fact, he went the exact opposite. He got on a boat to go to the seaport in the coast of Spain. He's going the exact opposite direction of the way God wanted him to go. So God planned a little Mediterranean cruise for Jonah. And the Bible says he created a great fish. And when Jonah is thrown overboard by the sailors, this fish swallows him up. Now, by the way, it doesn't say whale. It just says great fish. It could have been. I don't know. But God could have created a fish with an apartment in it if you wanted to. If you can create the entire universe, you can create anything you want. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you don't have a problem. If God created the universe, you don't have a problem with miracles. He can do whatever he wants to. So anyway, Jonah at the bottom of the ocean in chapter 2 prays his prayer of repentance, and he says in Jonah 2:7, "When I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." You need to do that. When I had lost all hope, Jonah 2:7, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord. You need to refocus. You need to refocus. Now the fifth step in overcoming discouragement. Minimize the pain and maximize the profit. Minimize the pain of doing the right thing and maximize the profit. Yes, there's pain in getting in shape. Yes, there's pain in getting in spiritual shape. Yes, there's pain in anything that works in life, that matters in life. But you look at the long-term gain. You look at the reward. You minimize the pain. You maximize the profit.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Today, I want you to remember to focus on Jesus, not your circumstances. We tend to go where we're looking, where we're focusing. So we should look to where we want to go, not where we don't want to go. And if we focus not on our pain, but on Jesus, and on the profit we'll gain in following him, we'll find the pain less of a hindrance. This week, when you're feeling hurt or discouraged, don't pay attention to that. Refocus on your faith in Jesus. The Bible says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end." That's Hebrews 12:2. You keep your eyes on Jesus or you'll get distracted. Get your mind off your circumstances and off your problems and refocus on God's goodness to you in the past, his closeness to you in the present, and his power to help you in the future. Do what Jonah did as he sat in the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a great fish. One of my favorite verses of scripture, Jonah 2:7 in the Living Bible, says this: "When I had lost all hope, I turn my thoughts once more to the Lord." Maybe you need to do that right now. If you find yourself at a point where you've lost hope, you think you're never going to get a job, you're never going to get married, you think you're never going to have a baby, you're never going to get over an illness, turn your thoughts to the Lord and focus on him. Switch the mental channel of your mind and watch what God does. And be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.